Well, hello, New Hope Windward. It's great to be back with you yet again, albeit online. I'll take whatever Windward time I can get. My name is TJ, as Jenny said, and if I haven't got to meet you in person yet, hopefully when this is all over, I'll get to do that. You know, for me personally, I love gathering together for church. Like, I love the worship experience and just being with everybody. And so if I'm going to be real honest with you, I was kind of a little bummed we're going to do online church. Like, I know we got to, but I was just kind of bummed. But last week, I attended online church with my wife, and I actually kind of had a change of heart. Maybe it was the banana pancakes we were eating while we were watching church. But the reality was, is I realized, like, oh, this whole online thing, there's certain things you can do online that we don't actually get to do in church regularly. I'll give you an example. For those of you guys that are joining us live, you look over here, there's a chat going on. And this chat is a space that you can chime in whenever you want throughout the whole service. People were throwing up extra scriptures or different points and perspectives. It was just awesome. Felt like it was like a different level of life coming out of it. So you can comment on anything you want at any time. You can comment on our clothes. You can comment on my bolo head. And for those of you guys that aren't from Hawaii, let me explain bolo. All bolo means is beautiful. So just wanted to help you out with that little one right there. But you can chat as we go. And another cool feature is if you look down here, there's this live prayer button. Now, if you're watching this live, we have an entire team of people, prayer warriors, our staff, that are actually waiting to pray with you. So if you click this, even in the middle of service, it's going to open up a private dialogue between you and one of our team, because we want to be able to pray for you right where you're at. And so it's like, it's just like God to like take something like this and make it even better. Isn't that true? I mean, to have the technology be able to do things that we've never been able to do. And so we're looking forward to getting back together in person. But until then, we're going to make the most of what's happening online. So be able to enjoy church from home. Now, speaking of home, I don't know about you, but I spent more time at home than I've spent in a long time. I mean, to say that there's been a disruption in life in the last week is kind of an understatement, right? Think about this. 7 days ago, 7 days, we were sitting in the church environment and kind of watching on that, and there was no home quarantine. That hadn't even happened yet. 7 days ago, school was going to start in the beginning of April. Now it's May. 7 days ago, for some of you guys, you were off going to work, but now you're working from home and you're spending more time on your computer on these video conference calls. I mean, some of you guys, you thought Zoom was just something that was a verb or a camera does, and you found out it's now a program that runs your life, you know? For others of you guys, you have like kids and your kids are home. And, you know, it's like, the whole environment with kids is you're just trying to like keep them going because you can't go to the places you used to go to. And it's just a completely different life right now. For those of us that are like in the kapuna stage of life, it's like you have to be even more careful than you've ever been before. So it's like everything is just shifting in our society and in our time. And what I want to talk to you today is not so much about what's happening out here. I want to talk to you about what happens when there's a disruption in here. Because the truth of the matter is it's only a matter of time but before a lot of the things that are going on outside of us start to have an effect of what's going on inside of us. I mean, think about it. Just think about the emotions that are beginning to surface right now. Think about, like, for you parents, you're with your kids, and how many of you, you know, as halfway through the week of the quarantine space, you just felt inside of you this overwhelming sense of patience and peace and calm. Anybody really feel like that? No, the impatience starts to swell up, right? Or for those of you guys like spouses, it's like, oh, we were just looking for more quality time, but we didn't mean this much time. And maybe for some of you guys, you had some beefs this week. And the emotions and the frustrations and the like, you're getting on each other's nerves. And you know it's just because it's a hard season, but this season isn't going anywhere anytime soon. And it starts to rise. For some of us, we're fast forwarding the tape. We're thinking through our financial future. We're thinking through, we have a job. And the thoughts are scary, but the emotions that accompany it, they swell up inside of us. And so what starts to happen is this pressure starts to build. And the question is what are you going to do with that inside? Because here's the thing. If we don't do something with it, it's going to spill out in places and ways we never want it to. And it's going to cause us to live in a way that God hasn't designed us to live. And so the good news for us is that scripture addresses some key things that help us to navigate seasons like this. So today I'm going to cover two big points from scripture that I just feel like God wants us to focus on when it comes to the environment and the season of life that we're living in. So the first one's in Galatians. It'll come up here. Galatians, and it says this. It says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Share each other's burdens. So here's what it's saying. You and I, in our life, we're going to experience times where we feel this burden or this weight or this swelling inside of us. You know what the scripture tells us to do in that time? It tells us to share it. Notice it doesn't tell us keep it to yourself. See, for a lot of us, what we're going to try to do in this season is we're just going to try and toughen up and just get through it and not share anything and just try to like grit our teeth and move forward. But what scripture's saying is when you do that, you're actually living outside of God's design. Because God designed that you would share your burden with somebody else and that they would be able to share their burden with you. It's kind of like this. My wife and I, when we went on our honeymoon, we went to Vietnam. We went to Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam. Part of the reason was because it was about the right pricing for us. And so we went there, and it was crazy because everything was really, really affordable. And so one day we decided just for one night, it's like, babe, why don't we just rent this ridiculously nice place? Like, why don't we rent a penthouse? So look at, this is the place we stayed. I'll show you. So for one night, we stayed in the top of this penthouse in Saigon at the very, very top of it. And the crazy part is in America, this would cost like thousands of dollars, right? In Vietnam, it was $100 for the night. It was just like unbelievable. The craziest part is in the middle of this night, like we're there, all of a sudden this giant lightning storm rolled in, just encompassing the whole city. Now, have you ever wondered what happens when lightning strikes a tall building? I don't have to wonder because it happened to us. So we're sitting there. So this is like what this, what happens is like lightning struck the building right as I'm looking out the window. Now it popped really loud. And I thought we'd experience like that. And if I had hair, my hair would stand up on its end or something like that, you know? My arm hair might have, I don't know. But something would happen in that environment. But do you know what happened when I was in that window in that top floor of this skyscraper? Nothing. Nothing happened. You know why? It's because when the engineers designed this, they designed these skyscrapers because they know they're going to get hit by lightning at certain times. And they design it in a way that they actually are able to ground it and that electricity doesn't have an effect and bring about a mass amount of destruction. See, in the same way, God has a design for you and me that when this electricity wells up inside of us, when there's this burden that starts to weigh, he has ways for us to be able to deal with those things and to ground them. And if we don't do that, that's when the thing overflows and destruction starts to come. And so the first and most important, obviously, is to connect to God. I think all of us really know that's the key one in there. But what he's also saying is we've also got to learn to start to connect to someone else as well, to share our burdens with someone. I think of it like this. Who's your go-to person in this? You got to have a go-to person in this season. And when I say a go-to person, here's what I mean. It means there's kind of a tension going on here. So this person has to be somebody that's, they don't judge you. So you know how sometimes if you ever like had something going on and you shared something and people gave you kind of one of these looks like, are you kidding me? That's ugly. This person is someone that can handle your ugly. That's like one of my phrases that I love to say. It's like they can handle the stuff that when people hear, it's like, oh, that's ugly. And they don't judge it. Because the truth is all of us have thoughts or feelings that surface at some point or another, right? And what we tend to do is just hide them and let them build up. But we've got to get them out sometimes to be able to process them. You're going to think stuff about your spouse that you know is not true, but you're going to feel it in that moment. You're going to have thoughts or feelings towards your kids, overwhelmed or fear set in. And you know it's not true with God. And sometimes Christians are notorious for trying to just pretend like it's not there. It's just not there, but it is. And it's going to build. And if you don't have a way to actually process it out, it will overrun you eventually. And so you share with somebody who's really, really safe. But here's the balance. They can't only just be safe. They've also got to be somebody that grounds you in truth. They ground you in truth. I'll give you an example of this. What we tend to do is we tend to do one or the other. So if it's no judgment, you call, like I see guys do this sometimes. They call and they grumble about their wives. My wife, you'll never believe what she did. And it might be safe where you can say stuff like this. But when they don't ground them in truth, What happens is the other guy starts to say, oh, I know what you mean. You should hear what my wife did. And then it's like, boom, 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 boom. And if this is like electricity or lightning, it just gets stronger. It's like the fire builds and builds and builds. But someone who grounds you in truth would say, oh man, that sounds like it was a really, really hard thing that you just went through. But you know, I think life's really hard for all of us right now. And if I know your wife, I know she's trying to do the best that she can, but I'm sorry that that happened. So you kind of see the difference in that. One just listens and feeds into it. The other one still listens with no judgment in it, but they're going to ground him in the truth. Because you know what, man, that's terrible. But you know what? God can show up in this environment. And let's just continue to hope that although our finances are terrifying, he's a provider. But I totally get you, man. It's a scary thing to look at where we're at and what the future is. You want to find people like that. So my question for you isn't if you get the concept of this, it's if you actually have somebody like this in your life. Who's your go-to person? Because here's what's going to happen. In the next week, the next weeks, you're going to have a time where this is going to go. And if this goes and you don't have somebody to reach out to, you're going to end up doing things that you regret. Saying things to your kids that you wish you never said. Doing things that you wish you never did. And what happened? It's that this just got to the point that the pressure overwhelmed and it just burst out. So who is that person for you? Who is your go-to person? This is the one big chunk I wanted to give us today. But the second chunk I wanted to give us is something that's going to complement this, okay? And it's going to be from another passage of scripture, and it comes from Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes 3, it says this. I'll read it to us. It's a little bit longer. This is Solomon, and he's writing, and he says, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to..." That one's the same slide. Put it up there twice. You'll see these things going up over and over and over on that. But he actually talks about these things, believe it or not, 28 times. There's 28 times that he mentions these different times and seasons. And here's what I feel like the Lord wants us to get from this. There is a season for everything inside of your life. And what I've found for the majority of us is normally we don't embrace the season we're in, and usually we long for the season that's coming. Sometimes we don't embrace the season we're in, and we wish for the season that's past. And what Satan tries to do is kind of a distraction, is he does everything to get us to focus on either what's coming or what's went, but nothing to really focus on what's right in front of our face. I'll give you a practical example from my own life. For me, you know, I got married later on in life. So I got married about my mid-30s. It took a while for God to reveal my true beauty and remove my hair. Matter of fact, I don't think I've ever showed you guys this at Windward. Some people wondered what my hair actually looked like, if I even had hair. And so here it is. This is what my hair used to be like, if you can see this. And so I'm actually a quarter Popolo, or African-American, and my only proof was my hair. So this is like normal. This is if I like literally picked it with just like, if I brushed it, that's what it would do. This is when I tried to straighten it, and it was a total disaster. So my hair and that, so you wonder like, wow, with that kind of hair, how did you stay on the market so long? I don't know. But anyways, in my 30s, I got married, right? But towards like my late 20s and early 30s, I remember being single and thinking to myself like, man, I just want to get married. Like, I just wish I was married. Like, I'm so tired of this singleness. I just started to long for the season to come. Now, what's interesting is if you actually talk to some married people, especially married people that they would say they're kind of like not the going through the easiest time or have the happiest marriage. Do you know what they wish for? I wish I was single. Now, this is not me. I am happily married. So Jules, if you're watching this, I am like the happiest married person in the world. Just like make sure that's out there. But the truth is we always long for the season we're not in. Isn't that true? We always long for that. And what happens when that is, here it is. When you long for the season you're not in, it robs you of the blessing God has for you right now. See, for me, when I was single, I came to this point, it's like, okay, if God wants me to be married, then I'll be married. And so I was like, I'm just going to embrace the season of singleness right in front of my face. And so I realized there was opportunities I had that I wasn't going to have when I was married. Experiences I could do. I had more time when I was single than I was ever going to have married, so I was able to make the most of it. And now that I'm married, I look back on my season of singleness. I said, I'm so glad that I didn't spend it just longing to be married, but I actually embraced it, because I would have missed out. Now, in marriage, there's other things going on. I have my kid right now, and you know, he takes up a lot of time. It's not a burden, it's a blessing, but it's different. And so I just don't have as much time at my disposal. And so for me, there's different blessings now that I'm in marriage, and so I'm trying to focus on that and embrace the season I'm in. But what a shame it would be if I'm married and I'm looking back saying, I wish I was single, not even realizing what's in front of my face. Or what a shame if I was single looking forward saying, I just want to be married, and missing the blessing God has right in front of me. What's my point in this? Well, if I was to add one more thing to Solomon's list of times, I might say something like this. You know, there's a time to be free and a time to be quarantined. Now, when I say it on that, this is what I mean is, it's obvious we're in a different season of life. Now, I'm not saying that God caused this virus. Listen, there is nothing good about this coronavirus, and we all hope that it's over as quickly as possible. But it is a reality that we're dealing with today, and it has put us in a season of life. And for many of us, we're sitting here thinking, I just want to get through this as fast as I can. And I feel like what God challenged me with is, it's almost like he told me, like, remember what I'm like and what my character is. I always bring good things out of junk situations. And so all of a sudden, I started this epiphany as like, I realized, like, wow, we actually have some incredible opportunities right now that we wouldn't have in any other time. I'll give you an example for me personally. I'm never going to get to spend time like this with my wife and my kids in this stage ever again. This is it. This is my chance. And in this time, I have more time than I've ever had before. And like, this is an opportunity. And if I'm so focused on what's going to come after this and how do I get there so fast, I'm going to miss the blessing of the here and now right in front of my face. Matter of fact, the question I want to ask you as you watch this wherever you are, I want to ask you this question. When it comes to the season you're in, specifically for us for quarantine, what would it look like for us to embrace this season? And then what would it look like to waste it? Because the reality is regardless of whether we like it or not, this season is here. And it's a season God has us in. And the way that we think about this and the decisions that we make right now is going to have a huge effect on what the next couple weeks are like. You're never going to get this time back with your spouse. You're never going to get this much time and space to maybe study or like work on the things that you feel like you've been trying to work on for so long. I mean, these are opportunities in this moment. But I want you to answer these two questions. What would it look like to embrace it? And what would it look like to waste it? As a matter of fact, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you actually, if you're watching this with somebody, just answer this out loud. Now, if you're watching this and you're solo, that chat feature or on the comments, if you're watching this and it's not live anymore, just throw your answers up there, because here's the thing that happens and that I love about the body of Christ. Pastor Dave's so good about reminding us about this. He says, church is never just about you and God. It's always about you and God and everyone else together. When we all start to share on this, it's like we learn from each other in different ways. It's just incredible. But we want to make sure that we're not just people that hear the word, we want to apply it. So just answer this, the video will run, and then we'll just pick it back up as we move forward to a close. So when it comes to these things, what would it look like to embrace it? What would it look like to waste it? I just want to give a couple things that I've heard that were really good examples of it, and just from my own personal life. And so an example is like, the easy one for me is to think, what would it look like to waste it? You know what's really easy for me, and this may not be you, but at least it is for me. One of the ways I could just waste this is I could just binge things on Netflix. It's like the easiest thing to do. Plus, now at the end of each episode, they start the next one in like 10 seconds. I'm like, oh, I should turn it off. Okay, it already started. I should just spend the next 45 minutes watching that one. And then like 10 hours later, it's like, what happened to the time? I mean, that hasn't happened to me, but Pastor Dave said it happened to him every night, so it was crazy. But no, that guy's working really hard in this. But you guys know what we're talking about. It can just happen that quick. Or social media. It's like you just find yourself in that space. My friend said, you know what? I look around my house sometimes and I look at my kids and we'll be at dinner and I realize all of us are on our phones. And he's like, that's okay sometimes, but he's like, sometimes I feel like it's like a wasted opportunity. Like I could actually sow into my kids or get to know them a little bit better in that space. And so I know for some people, one of the things they're doing in this season is they're getting back together and having dinner together, turning off the TV, turning off phones. Now I'm not saying that's what everybody has to do, but for them, it's one of the ways that it looks like embracing it. I have other friends that they're jumping on now and they're taking a class online. They've talked about doing this forever, but this is their chance to do it. So they're jumping in after it. I've got some friends that are married and they're planning and saying, you know what, in this season, we're going to dream about our future together. Or we're going to start to have some of these conversations we've always said we're going to get to. We just never did. Or they're jumping in and doing projects in the house together. I mean, the list is endless when it comes to embracing it. But what I'm trying to paint a picture for you today is this. If we can shift our perspective as Christians, if we can be people who understand what God's like, then what you're going to understand is that God can bring blessings even in the midst of dark seasons. And the last thing we want you to do is to miss out on those blessings because we're so focused on something else. So what I'm going to challenge us with as we kind of start to come to a close on this is these two practical things. I've already talked about both of these, but this is what it looks like. This week, I want you to have one conversation with your go-to person. Get your lightning rod in place. It's going to help ground you. And the second thing, I just want you to choose one practical way that you can make the most of this week. Maybe it's to do something special with your kids and to plan a special memory that they're going to remember and take some time to do that. I don't know what it is, but if you can just pick one thing to do this week and to share it with somebody else, I'm telling you, look back and you'll start to build these memories that say, wow, God, I'm not happy about the coronavirus. It was a terrible thing, but you really did start to show up in the middle of it. And that's how Christians should operate. Listen, we're not going to be people that stick our head in the hole and don't acknowledge reality. Listen, I'm aware some of you watching this right now, you're going through the hardest stuff you've ever been through in your life. I mean, it's absolutely terrifying. Maybe you tuned in today because you hoped that I was going to say something that was going to be something that you needed to hear. And maybe this is it, because here's what I feel like God wants to say to you. Is that he sees you and he knows exactly what you're going through in it, and he's going to meet you in the middle of it. He's going to meet you in the middle. Listen, for some of you, you don't believe in God at all. Matter of fact, you don't even know how you ended up watching this right now. But I believe it's not an accident, because I think God really wants to be able to encounter you even now and give you the peace that you're searching for, or the joy or the hope. Because the truth is, this has brought us all to the end of our ropes. And the reality is that's true anyways inside of life. Listen, none of us can make it on our own. But when God steps into any situation, there's always hope and there's always life. And so what we want to do is be able to pray with you on that. See, listen, I really believe that a lot of people in this day and age are going to come to faith. Not because they want to believe in a rules or identify with any institution. It's because they're going to have an encounter with God. I mean, just think about it. Think about Easter. Easter's coming up. Normally, we try to get people to come to Easter service, right? Now, we're going to be taking Easter service to them in their homes. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's a completely different way to think about it. And I really believe God's going to bring a whole bunch of people to faith in that week, because God's up to something in the middle of this whole thing. And that's what we've always got to remember. God was not caught off guard by this. God's not abandoned us in the middle of this. And God is for us, regardless of what we've done, where we're at. He cares about where we are now and where we're going from this point forward. And it says in Scripture that if we are people that turn our hearts towards him, it says he comes and fully supports people like that. And so in this season, I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody who develops eyes to see and ears to hear what God's actually doing now. And I don't want to get consumed with all the chaos around me. I want to get consumed with the good that he's producing right in the middle of it. I mean, just imagine a church and imagine a people that looked at this season and acknowledged how hard it is and acknowledged the awful But they could see the hand of God in the middle of it, and they embraced it, and they made the most of it. I mean, in all reality, this should be one of the brightest seasons where Christians should shine. We have a hope that transcends all of this. But it's not enough, in my opinion, for that hope just to be something we believe in behind closed doors. It's got to be something we live every single day. And my prayer is that for us as a community, we would step forward and we would be the people that Jesus called us to be and experience the things that Jesus has planned for us, even in the midst of this coronavirus season. Would you bow your heads with me as we close in prayer? Father, I want to pray for each person that's watching this right now, God. Because you know them by name. You know everything about their story. And God, I know your heart for them, that you have compassion and love. Regardless of where they're at, regardless of what they've done, you love them. And Lord, I pray right now that your spirit and your presence, that they would be able to even just feel it in this moment. God, it's a season of life that's crazy. We've never experienced anything like this. But it's a season, Lord, we know that you still are working in. And so, God, would you help us now to allow our faith to rise within us, to allow us to catch a vision for the opportunities that are right in front of our faces. God, this is time we're never going to get back with our kids. We're never going to get back with our spouses. We're never going to get back in terms of opportunity to do some of the things that maybe you've put inside of our heart. And so, God, help us not to waste that time, but help us to embrace it. And Lord, we want to pray for the world and the leadership and everything going on right now, God. We pray that you would bring a swift end to this coronavirus thing, that you would cause this season to close. But until that point comes, God, and we know it's coming, we're going to be a people who embrace it wholeheartedly and make the most out of what's right in front of our face. You know, with everyone else's heads down, you know, you might be watching this and you're not a Christian. You've never reached out or connected to God. And what we want to do in this time is to offer an opportunity to do that, because that's one of the biggest things that's on God's heart. He loves to connect to his people, and you don't have to get your life all together before you come to him. All you got to be able to say is you just reach out to him and say, you know what? I've been doing life my own way, and I'm done doing it that way. I want to start a relationship with you, and I want to follow after you. And it says, because what Jesus did for us and the price that he paid, everything that you've done wrong, Jesus took care of it. And he wants to start a new life with you. And it says he comes in, and I'm not kidding you, you can talk to people in our community. It's like he changes you from the inside out in a way that's just, it's hard to put into words. And so if you're watching this, it doesn't even matter. There's no magic words. What matters is what's happening in your heart right now. And so if you want to make a decision to start a relationship with God, I want to encourage you to do it. We've got an easy step you can take. Part of the features on this that are online, anything else, they have this little thing that'll come up now that just lets you know if you want to make that choice, and you can do that. But I want to lead us in a prayer right now. And this prayer, again, is not magic words. It's about what's happening in your heart. So if you want to start that relationship with God, can you just repeat after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I've made mistakes, and I'm sorry. Today I want to make a decision to follow after you, to make you my Lord, and make you my Savior, and make you my leader. I want to start a relationship with you and to follow after you all the days of my life. And Jesus, that's our prayer, all of us, as we're here. That's our prayer every day when we wake up, God. We want to come back to that place. You're our Lord. You're our Savior. You're in charge. You're our hope. You're our peace. You're our joy. And we want to follow after you every day. So God, would you help us to take steps today and to take steps tomorrow and to keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. We love you. We praise you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us online here at New Hope Windward. And feel free to hang out, chat a little bit more, ask for prayer. We'll be here for a little bit. But other than that, we will see you guys next week.